Doyle, we are in the studio here today. You're fresh off the House floor because we've talked about this for months. We finally have a state budget. Just give me your quick reaction to that.
Well, I mean, it's certainly, the budget isn't perfect. It never really is. This one took a lot longer. And really, where we wound up now, we should have been able to do this back in May or June, and really would call on the administration to focus next year on getting the budget done on time, because it really hurts our counties, it hurts our school districts, it hurts the folks that rely on services when these budgets aren't done on time. And you've heard me repeatedly on the podcast call, get a budget to us that we could vote for. This was a tough one. I got to say, I wasn't real happy with the spend number. But at the end of the day, I think this is the best it's going to get, and it's got to get done.
Let me ask a question when it comes to that. It seems like there is, yes, the spend number, it's $50.1 billion.
It's about $2 billion down from where the governor wanted. Mm-hmm. So it is more manageable, but I still do have concerns. But look, it's an annual budget, and we need to make those numbers up as we go through next year's budget, or it'll take away from next year. So it's going to be a challenge for us. But at the end of the day, the longer this budget impasse would go on, the more it's going to cost the Commonwealth.
That number of 50.1 is eye-popping, and a lot of people, that will grab their attention, and you hear some other members of the House Republican Caucus talk about that's why they voted no for this. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of good things in here, stuff that you've advocated for in the past, and we've talked about on this podcast. Why don't we talk about a little bit about that? What was good in this bill, mm-hmm. something that you could support?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, voting no on this budget, and I voted no on last year's budget, and I do have a lot of concerns, but looking at it and trying to, how could I get to be a yes to get this thing done? And what's going to be best for the folks that I represent? Obviously, the fact that there's no new taxes, right, that's a good thing. The fact that marijuana legalization isn't in this, that's been a very controversial issue, that's taken off the table. But probably the biggest win for every single resident of Pennsylvania in this whole deal is the fact that we're going to withdraw. We got the governor to withdraw from REGI, which is a regional greenhouse gas initiative, which, call it whatever you want, it's an energy tax. It would have been about a $2.5 to $3 billion tax on electric ratepayers, right? So you're going to pay more for your electric. Already, you know, we're seeing, because of some really bad policies, energy prices skyrocketing. Businesses are being hurt by that. Small businesses don't have the extra capital, right, to continue to increase, to see those increases. But what it was really doing was it was forcing private capital from coming into Pennsylvania to do energy development projects. We're an energy-rich state with natural gas, and this is going to enable us to produce that baseload electricity. And we talked many times about PJM, the concerns that they have for grid reliability. And REGI was just a terrible proposal, and I'm happy that we're out of it. And that is a huge, I mean, I don't know if I could really say that there's wins in this whole thing, right? Because we're 135 days late. But going forward, that's going to be huge for every single resident of Pennsylvania when it comes to what they're going to be paying for electricity, what extra jobs are going to be coming into the state of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. because of the energy production that we need. I mean, people, take data centers out of the equation. Everybody's using more electricity now than they were last year or even 5 or 10 years ago. Everybody's got a smartphone they're plugging in. People are plugging in their cars. You can replace LED lights with, but you can't save enough to keep up with the demand as we go into this technological age. So getting out of REGI was probably the best part of this whole thing.
And I was going to say, some of the numbers provided by our caucus show that REGI is responsible for Pennsylvania losing out on, they estimate, 22,000 jobs and nearly $8 billion in economic development. That's mm-hmm. money that we can use here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And the fact that PJM, we are an energy-producing state, we export electricity. The state of Virginia imports 38% of their electricity. We actually export electricity. That's money that comes back into our Commonwealth when we have these type of developments. And, you know, we produce the cleanest, most environmentally safe energy in the world is produced in the state of Pennsylvania. So why wouldn't we want to see that economic development come here, that money that's generated by that come back here, those jobs, family-sustaining jobs, where people can buy a house, have health insurance, raise a family, and stay in their community. And so that was big. There were some other things in this budget, but getting out of Reggie, that was a no-brainer. I can't believe it took 135 days for the governor to realize this.
So you mentioned that 135 days. How does it feel to get this moved quickly? How does that feel again now, again, to get this off, get the money flowing to those people who need it the most?
Well, I mean, we talked a lot about the dynamic of the House. We own the redistricting, not to rehash all those old podcasts, but we're in a really dynamic here where the Democrats control the courts. The courts have been very aggressive in legislating from the bench. They control the state house and the governor's mansion. And for most of the, for 125 or 130 days, they weren't really talking to the Republican caucus at all. And I mean, what we're looking at here, what finally got done today, all this stuff was on the table back in May, right? It could have been done then, but they wanted to go it alone. And I would hope that they've learned a lesson from this, that next year, we don't need to put the Commonwealth through this. We don't need this uncertainty. Let's start these conversations. We know where we're going to be next year. I can tell you what the issues are going to be next year going into the budget. The governor's going to want to spend even more. We backed him off $2 billion this year, but he's going to want to spend more. He's going to want to do what he wants to do and make his TikToks and jet set all over the state. But at the end of the day, our number one priority is to be here. I was told when I was first elected, I remember sitting down and talking with the folks here in Harrisburg, and they said, your number one priority out of all the things that you do is to be here and be present for votes on the House floor. You're the only person, as a state rep, I'm the only person out of 65,000 people that can push that button yay or nay on any vote. And the governor is the only person that can get this budget done. He needs to be here. He needs to be present. You want to run for higher office? You want to do all that? Go do it all. But make sure you get your responsibilities to every resident. 13 million Pennsylvanians are reliant on these budgets getting done and the jobs and the policies that come along with that. And I would definitely say let's start working now so we're not back here in November next year voting on the budget, because it was unacceptable. I mean, I heard from a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, to just get it done. We see what's happening at the federal level. Nobody wins when these budgets aren't done on time. We have a responsibility, and I'm glad we got it done today. But these proposals were there. We were never really given an opportunity to vote for anything like this up to this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of the comments, anything you put on social media recently, both sides, was pass the budget. And normally we'd bring those comments to you, but I think you've heard those and you've seen those people saying pass the budget, and we're already, I guess, but now we're already looking forward towards next year.
Well, there was never an agreement. You know, you got the House, you have the Senate, and you have the governor that you need an agreement between. Like, if I was king for a day, although they have all these no kings, but you know, I could pass a budget tomorrow, then, you know, the next day. But that's not how it works in Harrisburg. And I would think that, you know, this was a painstakingly long process, and I'm hopeful that it's not going to be like this again. I've been here now for several budgets. My first four terms in office, we got a budget done on time every year and signed by then Governor Corbett, and the budgets were done on time. We held up budgets because governors wanted massive tax increases. We got budgets done early in the middle of COVID. We really did a lot. But this one here, you know, it was tough and really uncalled for. I mean, look at where we're at now. And how this all shook out, this was where we were telling the governor that, you know, look, we need to be part of this conversation. And they didn't bring us in till 130 days late. And then now it's done. So, but I mean, look, there's some other things that I'd like to mention real quick in a podcast, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we could get to those in the future podcast, because right now you're on the calendar to come back next week here in Harrisburg. To be determined if that actually happens, we'll see. And I think that's when we can dive deeper into this. But again, maybe just a 15-second wrap-up here. What's your overall message today now that we have a budget deal done?
Well, I think there was, you know, additional money going to the schools back in the district, the Shine After School program, which I have advocated for years and had money in the budget. That's going to roll out, and we'll get those children and those families again back into the Shine program. That should have never been held up, but it was another frustration I had through the process. And there's some additional things for the counties in here. There's some things that I didn't like about the budget, but you know, you don't get everything that you want. And, you know, but I think that, you know, there's some human service initiatives that we worked on for integrity of programs and accountability to align us with the federal big beautiful bill on accountability and how these benefits are given out, and some of the legislation that I worked on, some of that I sponsored and Senator Argel sponsored in the Senate, and I worked on bipartisanly, were wrapped up into the Human Service Code. So there's going to be some more integrity, and it's to how those benefits are given out. So those, those were good things that we were able to get done.
Fantastic. So those are Doyle's thoughts. We'd love to hear yours. We didn't use your comments in this episode, but we'll bring them to the table next week. And make sure to like and subscribe wherever you're watching this.